Track 8, Normal for Norfolk. We now come to the third episode of Sam Elmhurst's Tales from Gresson Hall Farm. Here she is.
Over the years, the land girl work has varied, and I've been lucky enough to drive a horse cart, being taught how to chain harrow and also drill. Today, however, something new was in store for us. We lead the horses up to a field of wheat, and soon a crowd are gathered around watching Richard attach the horses to an Albion 5A reaper binder.
So we've got an Albion 5A reaper binder, 5'6" cut. So this is driven off the forward movement of the horse. Okay, so big drive wheel underneath here, underneath all this, the top part of it. And as that goes round, the drive chain then drives gearboxes, which in turn drive shafts, belts, and so this whole thing will, when it starts up, will make a hell of a din. But the crop is then cut on the left hand side, it falls back on the canvas belting with wooden slats on, which then carry it up to the belts, which carry it up and over the machine and against the knotter mechanism here. This is the revolutionary bit, because this in here is held a piece of binder twine, which comes from that round box in there, threaded through the thing like a sewing machine. So when you get to a certain size that you require, that pushes against the string. It's a pressure switch underneath here. That then in turn trips. The needle comes over and then it ties them up mechanically. Hope this will work. And then that is your knot, which then ties the sheet. Whereas before, everything is cut loose, so there's a lot of hard work to gather it all up.
Built in the late 1800s, this is a clever machine which reaps the wheat, gathers it on board, cuts it to a certain length, binds it into sheaves, and then spits it out the other side. It's driven by the forward movement of the horses, and as they move off, it makes the most dreadful din, clattering and splattering. We follow behind now and gather up the sheaths of corn, stacking them 5 or 6 apiece into neat stooks, placed so as to keep the grain heads off the ground before collection, which is tomorrow's job. We're finished by lunchtime, and it's time for a wander up to the glorious cafe for homemade quiche and chips. We get appreciative nods and smiles from others as they take in our outfits. We've worked hard this morning, and so we probably do look the part, grimy and covered in straw and horse hair. Well, by 2 o'clock, we're back at the farm. A couple of the horses are back out in the field with the hay cart now, and after we've shifted with pitchforks a load of manure onto the dung heap, which takes several barrel loads, we turn our hand to some harness cleaning. We lug the heavy, sweaty horse collars on our shoulders over to the tack room and get down to sponging off the sweat marks and saddle soaping the leather. It's old, but has been well looked after over the years, and so our input today is going to prolong its life even further. It's a rewarding task, and the harness, oh, smells heavenly as it's hung back on its hooks. And walking back out into the still very hot sunshine, we make ourselves useful, sweeping up spilled hay from the racks and refilling buckets and tidying up the horse stalls. We also meet and greet visitors at the farm who ask us questions about the horses and their keep. You know, there's something about horses that makes people just want to linger with them. And by the time the event is over, there are still a few families milling about, not wanting to tear themselves away from this beautiful, peaceful place. The children especially are just awestruck at the size and gentleness of these Suffolks. They seem totally mesmerised by their magic and seem to go all shy around them, looking at them wistfully as if they were unicorns. As the last of the visitors slowly amble away, it's time for Reggie and Remus to be washed down, and so we get the hoses out and gently trickle the stream of water down their necks and their shoulders, back and legs. They love its cooling effect, and they stand with their heads down and lower lips jutting out as if they're going to sleep. They've worked hard today, in such heat, but they're soon refreshed, and gathering up the rest of the horses, we lead them slowly back to their field for a well-earned rest.
Come on, Isabella. Walk on.
And like all their admirers of earlier, it's hard to tear myself away from them, but I'm happy in the knowledge that we can do it all again tomorrow. We're hot and dishevelled as we go round the farm saying our goodbyes and see you tomorrows. And as we wend our way back up the farm track towards the main house, we wave to the home guard who are setting up their vigil for the night, and to the brownies and guides who are gathering around their campfire for supper. We walk back to the car, and we fairly fall into the car seats. We're so sleepy now. Full of sun, fresh air, good food, honest toil, and horse. To be repeated on the morn. How lucky are we? And I know that despite our village at war efforts, I have glamorised this land girl life. It was, of course, very different during the dark war years. But never let it be said that us modern-day land girls aren't still keen to do our bit in peacetime. Britain is proud
of you. Thank you, Sam. We have enjoyed hearing you do your bit.